Welcome to the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Hagen, a nutrition coach, entrepreneur, food freedom expert, and forever a recovering disordered eater. I am here to help you own your enoughness, find your very own food freedom, and achieve your health and wellness goals in a way that gives more than it takes. Each week, I will provide you with insight and inspiration surrounding no-nonsense nutrition, mindset, motivation, body image, confidence, and other wellness wisdom. What the heck? Here we are, episode 97. I can't believe that you are here still along for this crazy ride. But can I just say thank you? Actually, I want to share a quick story with you because it made my freaking day. I was on the phone with a woman not too long ago, and she said, "You know how I heard about you? One of my dear friends sent me a podcast episode of yours out of the blue, and she said, hey, this is what you need. You absolutely have to listen to this lady. This is what you need instead of repeatedly dieting." And I was like, oh my gosh. First of all, that friend is a keeper. Please keep her close by. And I feel so privileged to have been introduced to you via the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom podcast. So I share that with you just to say thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for giving me great topic ideas. I know some of you have shared what you're struggling with and sent me DMs and said, hey, I'd love to hear an episode about this topic, or I'd love to learn more about X, Y, and Z. And above all, thank you for sharing this podcast. Thank you for sending episodes that really resonate with you to friends and to loved ones and to family. Because I've said it before, and I'll likely say it again, that's how this podcast grows, is word of mouth. Leaving a review, sharing a screenshot on your social media stories, and talking about it with friends and family. And it means so much to me that this podcast, this little audio party that we have every week, is powerful enough and meaningful enough in your life that you would willingly pass it on. So thanks. Thanks for being you. Now let's get down to it. Today's podcast episode is inspired by a couple of conversations I have had with one-on-one coaching clients. I guess it's safe to say that the holiday season is upon us. November 1st has come and gone if you're listening to this episode, and Halloween comes with lots of candy. Now, because of the crap that has come with 2020, we're all desperately looking forward to a little bit of holiday cheer. And with that comes, typically, lots of fun foods and beverages, in addition to the occasional social function, which might look a little different this year, but nonetheless, I'm sure we'll be trying to get together with friends and family, even if that's over Zoom or virtually somehow. And we like to celebrate those moments with our loved ones using food. And there's nothing wrong with that, but sometimes our emotional brains can get a little carried away. And we might eat something that doesn't leave us feeling good, or we might eat something that would be fine, but we eat it in a quantity that doesn't leave us feeling good. And then you might send me a message like, oh no, Nicole, I ate like shit. Now what? Now what do I do? We have all been there. You make a food choice, maybe even several, that doesn't serve you or your body, and it leaves you feeling like a pile of poo. Why? Why do I make these choices when I know better? Might be running through your brain. But you did it anyway. And now you're bloated and you're cranky and you're unhappy and maybe you're gassy and you feel like you've ruined everything. But before you allow yourself to slide all the way down that fuck it spiral, tell that drama queen inside your brain to back it up. Because not all progress is lost. And I'm about to give you 7 steps that you need in order to turn that ship around and head back in the direction of successfully nourishing your beautiful body and making powerful progress. Because one crappy choice does not failure make. You hear me? Even if you ate the whole plate, the whole bag, the whole pantry of insert your favorite fun food of choice, you have not ruined anything. You are not a failure. There is still hope and progress ahead for you, my friend. 7 steps that you need to move past feeling like that poop emoji and getting, quote, back on track. Step number 1, I want you to examine why the choice happened. What triggered your choice? Were you being mindful in that moment? Or did your emotional brain steal the show for a second? And if you're confused by my wording, emotional brain, I want you to head over to the Nutrition with Nicole Instagram page. I will drop the link in the show notes below because I just posted about this days, maybe at this point it will be a couple weeks ago. Anyway, scroll back a couple of posts and you will see a post where I have detailed emotional brain versus rational brain. And I'll quickly describe it to you here. We all have these two sides of our brain. The brain dichotomy is often what this is referred to. And that rational side of our brain likes to reason through all available options to ensure the best long-term outcome. So this is like the nerd part of our brain, okay? What if I do this? What is the outcome? What will get me the best possible results and the best return on investment? Not tomorrow, but maybe years down the line. And this is the brain that we need to utilize in order to create future progress. Because the emotional side of our brain is what chooses based on what feels good in the moment, based on impulse and intuition. I want this now. I don't know if any of you grew up reading the Berenstain Bears. This totally just popped into my brain. I did, and I can think of one book. I think it's called The Gimmies. And this is so ridiculous. I don't know why I'm remembering this. But in this book, the kids wanted everything, right? And they called that the gimmies. Gimme, gimme, gimme. I want candy. I want this. And I'm sure the book went on to have some sort of lesson about you can't always get what you want in the moment. And it applies. It applies here. So our emotional brain wants to choose comfort and what feels best right now. It doesn't give a shit about tomorrow or the next day or even years down the line. And so in the moment, that emotional brain is always gonna say, ooh, I want the cookie. Ooh, I want more cocktails. Ooh, I don't care about eating vegetables. In this moment, I wanna skip the workout. I wanna press snooze 5 times and I wanna eat all the junk. That's our emotional brain. And we have emotions for a reason. So we don't want to nix that part of our brain. We want to understand why we feel the way we feel, but we want to merge the two. And instead of acting purely based out of emotion, which 80% of our human decisions are, we want to weigh it against our rational brain. So I know I want that cookie now. I know I want that 5th cookie now, but how will it leave me feeling 15 minutes from now? How will it leave me feeling tomorrow? That's us taking what we want now and weighing it against the outcome that will result from that choice. Helps us to be a little bit more rational about our choices. So I want you to think about which side of your brain you're using when you made the choice that didn't leave you feeling good. 9.9 times out of 10, it's the emotional brain. And that's okay. It just means that we need to bring a little bit more mindfulness and self-awareness to those moments where you're choosing. So instead of acting out of that knee-jerk, I want it, gimme, 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 we can say, all right, I know that 5th cookie looks really appealing, but will it taste any better than the 4th? Will it leave me feeling any better than the first 4 did? Maybe not. Let me grab another glass of water and stick to the crudité tray. And then I want you to ask yourself, what could I do differently next time when a similar situation arises? Because it will, right? If you order pizza because you didn't feel like cooking dinner and you feel greasy and gross afterwards, that's not going to be the last time. And while there's nothing wrong with that, if it didn't leave you feeling good, I want you to ask yourself, okay, what triggered this choice? Did I not have healthy food available to me? Did I maybe let stress get the best of me and I made a knee-jerk emotional choice instead of thinking through what would leave me feeling best rationally? And what might I do different next time? Could I get takeout, but something that's gonna be a little bit more goal supportive and leave me feeling better? Could I ask my significant other to help with dinner prep when I'm feeling overwhelmed? Whatever it may be, what could you do if the situation were to repeat itself, so that the next time something like that happens, you've thought it through and you can come from it a little bit more logically and rationally, but you can be more self-aware and mindful. Now, I know you. You're tempted to skip this step because it's a little bit too deep for you. But don't. Because collecting feedback is fundamental to making sure that you don't repeat the same mistakes over and over again. And I really want you to think about this. So if someone made a mistake, let's say an investor lost a ton of money and it put them in the red, do they just say, "Ooh, that hurts," and move on? No, they figure out what went wrong. And they do a ton of analyses to make sure that that same outcome doesn't happen again, so they can protect themselves from that icky feeling of having lost all their money, right? And if someone is designing something, an airplane, some type of electronic device, whatever it may be, if the first 100 models don't work, do they just say, "Oh, well, let's try again," without figuring out what about the model didn't work and what did work? No! They figure out, okay, well, this was more successful this time around, but you know what? It's this piece that's still not serving us, so we've got to figure out what to do. They don't just keep banging their head against a wall, because that's only going to ensure that they make the same mistakes over and over and over again. Right? Can you see how that works? So if you don't pause to collect feedback when you feel really gross from having made choices that don't serve you, you're just going to keep making those same choices. Don't skip step number one. It's step number one for a reason. Step number two, use that feedback to make changes. Changes to your environment, changes to your mindset, changes to your support system, and/or changes to your nutrition strategy. Why did what happened happen? What role did you play in it? And what can you do about it? So if you binged on cookies because they were left out on the kitchen counter, can you put them in the freezer so they're out of sight? If you ate 8 brownies instead of 2 because you thought you were bad for haven't eaten just one, can you do some journaling and some work around the all foods fit concept and remind yourself that no food needs to be avoided or demonized and it doesn't have morality, so that you don't run into that same behavior again? If you had a really stressful day and you have no one to talk to about it, and so you go home to drown your stressors in a bottle or two of wine, can you recruit accountability? A buddy to lean on so that you don't have to navigate these situations solo. And if you stuffed yourself full of appetizers because you skipped lunch that day, can you make sure to eat a balanced meal before your next social function? See what we're doing here? We are the investor, we are the researcher, we are the scientist, and we're saying, this is the thing that didn't work. This is where things are going wrong. And this is the thing that I need to change. I'm going to give you an example. After the Halloween season, I had a client reach out to me and she said, "Nicole, I ate so much candy. I feel sick. I binged on it. This is the worst I've felt in a long time and I don't know what to do." And we talked through it. And I asked her these very same questions that I'm prompting you to ask yourself. Hey, first of all, it's okay. You acknowledge this. That's a huge win. Celebrate that. But I want you to think about what triggered this choice. And why do you think it happened? What was going through your brain when you ate candy? And we dug and dug and dug. And It turns out that growing up, candy was always a bad food in her house. She was never allowed to eat candy, and when she did, she was shamed for it. So that's a story that popped up around Halloween. So when she had one piece, immediately she told herself that she had done something wrong. She had failed. So, oh well, might as well give up, go down that shame spiral and eat it all. And it ended in a binge. That was because of her mindset. So we have committed to breaking down that mindset and rebuilding it in a way that serves her. We found the broken part, if you will. Not saying that she was broken, but the thing about her mindset that wasn't working for her, wasn't serving her, and we changed it. I want you to think about this. If every behavior is a solution to a problem, what did your behavior solve? The choice. It might not have left you feeling great after the fact, but in the moment, you were looking for relief from something. Discomfort? Stress? Loneliness? Boredom? Guilt? Shame? I really need you to dig deep and to uncover the why behind what you chose so that you know what you need to do about it moving forward. If we don't figure out why we made the choice, we can't successfully change our pattern, the broken part, moving forward. If I know that I binged on appetizers or desserts or had too much to drink because I skipped a meal earlier, well, then I know I need to change my nutrition strategy. And I need to make sure that I eat balanced meals before I go anywhere. And I can't save calories. I'm using air quotes, big air quotes, save calories before a party or a work function because that doesn't work. If I ate 17 cinnamon buns because they were sitting in my break room at work, how can I avoid going in the break room and bring my own lunch and pack my own snack so that I'm less likely to make a choice that doesn't serve me because my scarcity mindset kicked in and I told myself, if I don't eat these now, who knows when I'll get them next? Find what didn't work about that choice. Why did you make it? What was the trigger? What problem were you trying to solve? Even if it wasn't an effective solution, it was the solution that your brain chose in that moment. Figure out what you were trying to solve with that choice, and then do a little bit of thinking and reflecting on how you can better solve that problem when it pops up again in the future. They get easier from here. Those first two are really deep, but they're really important. So stay with me. Step number three is to wipe the slate clean. And what I mean by that is just start fresh. If we carry guilt and shame and regret and judgment with us from those choices that don't leave us feeling good, we're not going to create positive change moving forward. We are just going to continue growing that snowball, making it bigger and bigger and bigger. And this is where we get stuck in the restrict, binge, restrict cycle. So I made a choice that leaves me feeling like a pile of poo, and now I'm going to restrict. I'm going to make up for it, and I'm going to exercise even harder the next day, and I'm going to cut extra calories, and I'm not going to eat any treats or sweets for the next week or month or whatever. Restrict will always lead to binging because it's your body's primal instinct. When I'm not getting enough, when I'm starved, when I'm undernourished and underfed, I get increased hunger and increased cravings and decreased energy. Pile that on top of the load of stress I know you're carrying around, and it's only a matter of time before you end up face down in a bottle of wine and a bag of potato chips, or insert your particular fun food or beverage of choice. Don't punish yourself for the choice. Don't try to make up for it. Don't wallow in guilt. That will only ensure that you stay on the hamster wheel of restricting and binging, restricting and binging, restrict. Just wipe the slate clean. Move on. Yes, just like that. I know I make it sound really easy, but it happened. It sucked. Thank you, next. That's what I want you to do. And pick right back up with the habits, the behaviors, and the choices that you know serve you best moving forward. Okay, that happened. I'm gonna learn from it. I'm not just gonna pretend it didn't happen. I'm gonna learn from it, but then I'm gonna forgive myself for it. I'm gonna practice grace, and I'm just gonna move on. I'm not gonna hold that record of wrongs against myself, right? It's like with your significant other. If you bring up something that you're harboring, right? Like you're not letting something go and it stays with you. And the next time you have a disagreement or you're trying to talk through something and you're like, well, remember that time when you did this? Like you never do that. You're always like, remember? And nothing good comes from that. I'm sure you have realized that, but if you haven't, let me just tell you, nothing good comes from that. You've got to let it go. You have to have my therapist would say, you have to have the rupture, which is the breakdown, the choice that leaves you feeling like shit, and then you have to repair. You have to do the work to figure out what went wrong and grow stronger moving forward because you figured it out. When you're not holding on to that rupture, you let it go. Let it go. Learn from it, move on. Step number 4, drink water and a lot of it. After we make choices that don't serve us, we tend to feel bloated and puffy and soft and maybe a little icky, uncomfortable in our clothes. Because when we make a choice that doesn't leave us feeling good, typically, it's because we chose something that is high in carbohydrate, and carbohydrate comes with glycogen. Glycogen comes with water weight, so now I'm extra puffy. I don't feel great in my body, but it probably also came with extra fat and extra salt. So those things can lead to water retention. Now, if it was one choice, that's temporary water retention. I didn't undo all of the progress, because remember, your body responds to what you do most often, not once in a while. So if you are retaining water weight, don't beat yourself up for it. Don't make more choices that leave you feeling like crap because you feel like crap. Commit to the actions and the behaviors that you know will help you to feel more like your best self. Now, it's going to take time, and I like to tell my clients in these moments, you are 24 hours away from feeling more like yourself. So I want you to just commit to doing these action steps, whatever their non-negotiables are that we've arrived at, and I want you to forget about it until this time tomorrow, and then we can revisit this. Because after 24 hours of getting good sleep, of making sure they're adequately hydrated, of making sure that they've gotten enough good quality nutrients, of minimizing other things that are gonna leave them feeling crappy, they're feeling like a whole new person. It's temporary. And we can let that temporary suck turn into that big snowball because we just keep it going, or we can wipe the slate clean, move on, and flush all that extra salt out by drinking a ton of water. Not coffee, not booze, water. You are made up of a hell of a lot of water. And for some reason, you don't drink enough on a regular basis. This is true for almost everyone, especially in these months where it's cold. And just as a friendly reminder and as an aside, you still need to hydrate even when it's 30 degrees outside and you're freezing. Your body still needs water. Okay? So when you're feeling extra puffy and you're not feeling like yourself, drink more water. Double down on this and make sure that you are hydrating. That will help. Step number 5, I want you to detox. Ooh, you didn't think that one was coming, did you? But here's what I mean when I say the word detox. First of all, your liver detoxes for you, so you never need to go on a detox ever. Hard stop. Detoxes are a waste of money. They are a diet culture scam. The best detox, and again, I'm using air quotes, that you can possibly go on is committing to a balanced diet with a lot of water, hello step 4, lean proteins, vegetables, a lot of veggies, smart carbs, and healthy fats. That's it. That is the only detox that you ever need in your entire life, I promise you. Focus on doubling down, on building your balanced plates. At meals, at snacks, get a lean protein. That's gonna leave you feeling satiated and help to ensure that you don't overeat on other things like carbs and fats, because those are really tasty. Get your vegetables. They're packed with phytonutrients. Your body needs the vitamins and minerals that are in veggies. Not to mention fiber will help to keep things regular. And we all know that nothing leaves us feeling like shit more than being constipated. smart carbs. I don't need you to cut them. I don't need you to cut all carbs ever, but I do not want you to cut out whole grains, which also give you helpful fiber and energy. Things like fruit, oats, whole grain breads, potatoes, rice, quinoa, couscous, all those things have their place on your plate. Don't overcompensate. Don't punish yourself by cutting carbs. Just focus on high quality carbs, things that are going to serve you so much more than baked goods, chips, crackers, cookies, pretzels, sodas, coffee beverages that are sweetened. Those things are carbs too, remember. Choose the ones that are going to leave you feeling great. And healthy fats, which of course leave you feeling extra satiated. There's nothing evil about any of these food groups. Your body needs them all. They're called macronutrients for a reason. Don't skip out on them. Just double down on making sure that most of your meals include these components. And then step six, keep the salty snacks and the sweets to a minimum. The things that got you in trouble in the first place. First of all, there is room for delicious foods, salty snacks, sweets, treats, in a balanced relationship with food. Yes, there is. But if you have just overconsumed one or more of these categories, you probably want to keep them to a minimum. Our bodies don't need these things to survive, but our taste buds really like them. And let's be honest, they bring us a lot of joy. So move forward mindfully. Make sure that you're choosing these fun foods and beverages because you really want them, and eat them in a quantity that leaves you feeling good. One or two warm, gooey chocolate chip cookies, yum, day made. But the third, fourth, fifth cookie, it's not gonna leave me feeling any better. It's not gonna taste any better than that first delicious bite. That's me. Figure out what works for you. But try to minimize those processed, packaged things that come with a lot of salt and perhaps a lot of sugar and a lot of carbs and a lot of fats, and double down on the nutrients that you probably haven't been getting quite enough of. And step number seven, proactively create a plan for the next time you're in a similar situation but want a different outcome. So earlier we talked about that emotional versus the rational brain, and we need both to make choices that serve us. We can't deny our emotions. Emotions are really important and valid, and we can't ignore them. That only gets us in a heap of trouble. But we also can't deny rationality and what's true, not just in the moment, because feelings can often be untrue or misled. So if you're acting in the moment, based on your current emotions, you're going to have a really hard time creating future change. You're going to have a really hard time being a different person and progressing towards the version of yourself that you want to be. What we have to do is say, okay, this outcome isn't comfortable. I don't like feeling bloated. I don't like feeling puffy. I don't like feeling out of control around food. I want to feel confident and in control of my food choices, and I want to enjoy all foods, but in a way that leaves me looking, feeling, and performing my best. And so if I want to become that version of me, then I have to learn how to make choices in the moment, not just based out of emotion, but also based out of rationality and who I want to be and the outcomes I want to create for myself. So oftentimes I'll challenge my clients to say, what would that fit, healthy, confident version of you do in this moment? I know what you would do right now, but what would that healthy version of yourself do with that really confident, life-giving relationship with food? How would she respond in this moment? And then I want you to plan for that. Maybe it's having a high protein snack before you go to a function. Maybe it's doing a kitchen clean out and only keeping things in your house that you feel comfortable and confident eating because you know they serve your body. Maybe it's eliminating some toxic social media profiles from your scrolling, or recruiting more accountability in your life so you have a stronger support system. Maybe it's making sure that you prioritize a protein and a vegetable and a tall glass of water before you make any fun food or beverage choice. Maybe it's getting, you know, enough sleep the night before so you can make a mindful choice. The list goes on and on and on and on. And ultimately, we want to be able to pair all of these things together into your blueprint. But that's what I do with my one-on-one coaching clients. So if you're interested in the whole package and building a roadmap that will help you to confidently navigate any and every food choice, regardless of where you are, who you're with, or what's being served, you know what to do. Fill out the coaching application in the show notes below, and let's do this. Let's work together and ensure that you make fewer and fewer choices that leave you feeling like shit, and more choices that leave you feeling confident and in control and capable of navigating your nutrition in any and every situation. But for now, these are the 7 steps that I want to leave you with. When you make a choice that leaves you feeling like poo, here's what I want you to do. Step number 1, examine why the choice happened. Step number 2, use that feedback to make changes. Step number 3, wipe the slate clean. Step 4, drink water and a lot of it. 5, detox with lean proteins, vegetables, smart carbs, and healthy fats. 6, keep the salty snacks and sweets to a minimum. And 7, proactively create a plan for the next time you're in a similar situation but want a different outcome. More than anything, I want for you to be able to say, I make choices based on the outcomes I desire, because that person is unstoppable. That version of you is so confident that she can create any amount of change in her life, her body, and her relationship with food, because she's not just controlled by her environment. She's not just controlled by her emotions. She factors for those things, but she also knows how to channel her rational brain and make choices based on the version of herself that she wants to be, and the health and the happiness that she wants for her life moving forward. That is my wish for you. If I can help you do any of these things, if you are struggling to navigate nutrition as we dive right on into this holiday season, you know where to find me. Catch you on the flip side, squad. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. If you like what you heard today, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe, and then head on over to nutritioncoachingwithnicole.com, where you can sign up for my weekly emails, where I send out my favorite tips, tricks, advice, and support every single Monday morning to help you kick your week off right. Thanks for listening. Until next time.